This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Cashing Out right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We've got a trio of tremendous hours coming up for you guys. There is no shortage of things to talk about for Sunday. We've got a Game 7 in the NBA Finals. We've got the College World Series rolling on. We've got ourselves all 30 teams in Major League Baseball. We've got some good WNBA action as well. So this is going to be tremendous. Now, once the NBA Finals wrap up, then we're going to start to be getting into more of the dog days of summer. But until then, we've got ourselves a lot of fun, and we've got a trio of great guests tonight. We're going to be joined in 15 minutes to take a look at NBA Finals Game Number 7 with Grant Mitchell. He does great work over at Forbes. He's one half of the Ride the Line podcast as well. We're going to be chatting with him about what he's all taking a look at, some of the player props that he likes, and we might get into a little bit of the offseason news as well with not knowing where Kevin Durant is going to be going. We've seen quite a few, shall we say, big trades over the last few days in the NBA as well. Certainly what we saw with the Memphis Grizzlies a few days ago with Desmond Bane, that's a big one. So we're going to be taking a look at that and so much more. In 30 minutes, we're going to be talking some golf. Stephen Hennessy, he does great work over at Golf Digest. He's going to be talking to me about the final round of the Travelers Championship. Travelers has been a lot of fun as we have seen Mr. Fleetwood be able to rise up the board, as I always like to call him, Tommy Fleetwood Mac. So we'll take a look at that and so much more. And in hour number two, we're going to stay on fleet. Johnny Venezia, he does great work with the podcast, the Breaking Bet podcast. Additionally, he's over at RotoWire. He's going to be joining me. College Baseball World Series is going down. He is so good at being engaged. Great sport. Are we going to be seeing Game 3 with regards to College Baseball World Series? Because he was thinking that this could go 3. He was thinking that LSU was going to be able to win Game Number 1. We shall see what's going to be happening in Game Number 2. So we've got a lot of fun there, and we've got a lot that's happening right now in Major League Baseball as well. We've still got quite a few games that are going down, so if you're looking to get in some bets here on this Saturday before we get everything all taken care of for Sunday, you know what? We've got you guys covered. As right now, out there in Colorado, the Arizona Diamondbacks and the Colorado Rockies are playing a 5-3 game. Diamondbacks are currently in the lead, but Rockies are threatening, and this is just so interesting to take a look at with regards to some of these games, because you get like a lot of scoring early, and then sometimes it just dives into the abyss. Like after three innings in this Diamondbacks versus Rockies game, and I can tell you, I'm right now sweating out the under in this game. I felt like a moron because the game was 3-3. It was looking like, all right, we're on pace for 18 runs. Things have very much died in the abyss now for the Arizona Diamondbacks. They have to go into a bullpen that is not great, to say the least, and that's something that you always want to be looking at when it comes to being able to bet some of these games live. You want to be looking at the bullpens, and I always say this with regards to some of your live betting as well in terms of Major League Baseball: look for something funky, especially if you notice that there's a team with like a big giant lead or a big giant deficit, because when you get position players in, that's where you hammer the live over, you hammer the team that is batting against that position player, and you can make yourself a gob ton of money. Probably aren't going to be getting any of those tonight, even when the Rockies do fall down like 6-plus runs. They don't necessarily do so, though. This Astros versus Angels game might be interesting. Right now, 7-1, the Angels are in the lead over the Houston Astros. Thought that Brandon Walter was going to be able to give you a good start. Mr. Walter, he did not give you a very good start. And Jose Soriano currently rolling 5 1/3 innings, 7 punchouts. So a little bit of credit where it is due. And we could be in for a big upset as well in Major League Baseball. It's right now in the bottom of the fourth inning for the Washington Nationals. They're up by a count of 2-0 over the LA Dodgers. Now it's early. And one of the better things that you've been able to do in terms of live betting baseball as well has been looking at the LA Dodgers, getting down early, being able to bet them live, because you also do have a Washington Nationals team that is dead stinking last in terms of bullpenning area in the National League. And Jake Irvin has not been a whole heck of a lot to write home about, so that's been fascinating to say the least, but I certainly do think that we've got ourselves a lot of fun to take a look at, and we've got just a lot of fun in general with regards to this great sport. We've had a few games that just went final. If you're looking at Mets versus Phillies, well, that home run derby ended with the New York Mets being able to win by a count of 11-4, and it's just so interesting to take a look at these teams that they get hot and cold, because going into this game, the Mets were as cold as an igloo. I believe that they were riding a 7-game losing streak, and then That did not matter whatsoever on the Saturday, as Francisco Lindor hit a home run, Brandon Nimmo had two home runs, Juan Soto had two home runs, Francisco Alvarez had a home run, and you had Mr. Young be able to give you a home run as well. I think that the Towel Boy might have also had a home run in this game as well, and it's just so interesting because I know that I was talking about this on Live Bet Saturday a little bit earlier with Mark Melusis along with Will Hill. How do you take a look at some of these scenes when they get hot and cold? And I think that just every single game needs to be its own living, breathing entity, because if you're banking on a streak continuing, that's oftentimes when the streak comes to an end. And if you're banking on, oh, this streak is going to come to an end, they're due, well, you're not due for anything as well. So I always think that this is so important, and it's one of the toughest things to do as a bettor as well, to take a look at something and just try to unsee what you had just last seen, and to either go with the trend, go against the trend, because there's just so many different schools of thought. I think the best thing to do is just take everything by its own living, breathing entity, to be able to take everything as its own, shall we say, its own just very unique situation in general. And I think that that's just so big in these sorts of situations, because, man, you just never know when things are going to be getting hot and cold, as it is cashing out with myself, Greg Eames Peterson, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Certainly have a lot of fun to be taking a look at in Major League Baseball right now. And if you're taking a look at some of these teams that have been able to get hot, we have been noticing a little bit of reversal on some of these teams as well. We certainly have some of these teams that are playing live that have been a little bit up and down, but I do want to highlight this team because, I mean, it has been ridiculous what we've been seeing out of them thus far this season. How about what the Tampa Bay Rays have been doing? For the New York Yankees, they were finally able to get online here on this Saturday. They got the job done 9-0 against the Baltimore Orioles, but if I'm looking at one race right now that I think is going to be so much fun to be able to gauge in Major League Baseball, obviously the NL West is going to be one of them. The San Francisco Giants picking up Rafael Devers. You've got the San Diego Padres doing what they are doing. And by the way, they got the job done, win and under for them, 5-1 against the Kansas City Royals here on the Saturday. But I just look at this NL East or this AL East race, and I think that a lot of people thought it was a foregone conclusion that the New York Yankees were going to be able to win. And I say not so fast, especially with the New York Yankees and just the way that the pitching, it feels like they're one or two injuries away from being inconsistent. Like, we saw how the bullpen was struggling without Luke Weaver. They have found a few guys with like Yuri De Los Santos, Fernando Cruz. These two guys have been able to step up for the team a little bit, and now you've got Weaver back in the fold. But I mean, for the Tampa Bay Rays team, they're a team that's built for 162, maybe not so much for the postseason. And I do think that that's very important to gauge, because like a Tampa Bay Rays World Series futures ticket, something like that, not necessarily something that I'd be bullish on, but them to perhaps be able to win the division. We've seen it in the last few years with the Tampa Bay Rays team. I think that there might be some great value. Like, I mean, they have not had Shane McClanahan throw an inning thus far this season. They have dealt with a few guys being out of the fold with injury. Like, even one of their better bullpen pieces, Hunter Biggie, he has been out of the fold for this team, and yet they've been able to overcome all this, and the offense has been able to come alive this year. We saw it against the Detroit Tigers here on the Saturday. They were able to put up 8 runs. Junior Caminero has been just absolutely amazing for this team. Brandon Lau, who was so good when the team was able to make their World Series run in 2020, he's starting to come back to form as well. Yandy Diaz has been a guy that's sort of been there, done that. He's been able to do a nice job as well. And I think that with the Tampa Bay Rays, they might be one of the most interesting teams to take a look at, because they're not the only team that's getting hot in the AL East. We certainly have been seeing that with the Toronto Blue Jays, who they revamped their bullpen. They've been able to do a nice job of just being able to find a little bit more on that front as well. So I think that that's another team that you want to be gauging, and that's another team to be just mindful of, because for the Blue Jays, they have been doing this while being a bottom eight team in the big leagues in terms of home runs on a per at bat basis. Like, don't let Vlad Guerrero Jr. get hot. He was able to get a home run today. Bo Bichette is starting to look like the Bo Bichette of old as well. And you just take a look at the odds board with regards to the AL East right now. The Yankees are that clear favorite at -225. Rays are +$5. Red Sox at 10-1, I just would not want to be banking on, because I do think that the Red Sox make a move. We saw them trade away Rafael Devers. We saw them make that very strange move, and yet they still have been able to stay afloat. Like, in the series against the Giants, I recognize that they did not get the job done on Saturday, but, I mean, they were able to take that game on Friday. They have been able to do a nice job in their West Coast road trip, taking a few games from the Seattle Mariners as well. The overall pitching has been actually pretty solid for them. You bring in Garrett Crochet in the offseason. This bullpen looks a little bit revamped from what it's been in past years, but man, I just don't know what you're going to be able to get moving forward out of these young guys. If they blossom, perhaps there's tremendous value here. If they don't blossom, then you might be up a creek without a rowing utensil with the Boston Red Sox. I just feel a little bit better about the Tampa Bay Rays, where it just feels like they have so many guys sitting out there in their minor league affiliate in Durham. Like, they even threw out there a guy. It was like a week or two ago. I think his last name was Simpson. Comes in the 11th inning, is able to close things down. He gets it done for them. Just so much depth of pitching with the Tampa Bay Rays team. And you'll notice a lot of the teams I feel bullish on, like I was giving out the San Francisco Giants a few weeks ago before that Rafael Devers trade at 15-1. It comes back to bullpen pitching. Now, bullpen pitching might not do you a ton when it comes to the playoffs because you shorten up the rotation. That starter number four, starter number five, he goes into the bullpen. That's a little bit of a different ball of wax. You want perhaps a little bit more top-heavy teams when it comes to postseason, but when it comes to a full 162 games depth, the just war of attrition, being able to get through that, that is so big. It's something that I feel like the San Francisco Giants have with their bullpen, and it's something that I feel like the Tampa Bay Rays have. And with the Rays being able to have the offense that they're having, and I mean, let's call it what it is, playing in that ballpark where it's been very interesting to be able to gauge that, but I mean, they've been very much equipped to be able to play anywhere at any time. They're year in and year out one of the best teams on the road in all of baseball. They have been that once again this season. I think they'll provide some very interesting value here at 5-1. What else provides some really good value? NBA Finals game number 7. It is on. It is going to be tremendous. And Grant Mitchell, he does great work over at Forbes. He's one half the Ride the Line podcast. We're going to be discussing all the nooks and crannies of this game, the side, the total, the player props, and so much more on the flip side here on Cashing Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashing Out. I'm VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Great to be joined by this man on the Progressive Guest Line as we've got Grant Mitchell. He's one half of the Ride the Line podcast. He does tremendous work at Forbes. He is amazing on the NBA front. And Grant, it's great to have you aboard. Thank you so much.
No problem. It's a pleasure to join. Merry Game 7 Eve to all who celebrate out there. Haven't had one of these since 2016. I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely. And there were not a lot of people that thought we were going to be getting a Game 7. A lot of people thought that this might be a gentleman's sweep, that this might be a sweep in general. And I want to get your thoughts before we dive into this game in general. Just how have the Indiana Pacers been able to overcome the odds and have been able to force this Game 7?
Well, the fact that they're even in the finals in the first place, how did they get there? Don't get me wrong, they're a phenomenal team, but they had some things go their way. They had some unprecedented comebacks. And above all else, they just haven't lost faith in who they are. And I think this final series is a little bit of a referendum on where the state of the NBA is. We had the Big Three era, and then it was all about trying to acquire superstars. And if you look at these two teams we got right here, the Thunder and the Pacers, they're the two best teams, not starting fives, 1 to 15, front office, coach. They are the best teams in the NBA. They have the best records in 2025. I know people like to disregard the Pacers because they're the four seed, but no, these have legitimately been the best teams in the league for a long time. And it's because they know who they are. They stick to it. They trust their numbers. They play their bench guys more minutes. That means the starters are fresh and they just stick to what they know. And it might look surprising that we're in a Game 7 because of where the betting odds were before the series began. But as we're just about, you know, a little less than 24 hours away from tip-off, if you really sit down and think about it, it makes total sense.
Yep, I'm right there with you. With this Indiana Pacers team, the way that they've been able to embrace, shall we say, the new era basketball with how many threes they take, with the tempo that they play, it has been very impressive. And that leads us into what we've got in game number 7. Most places have this as a line of 7.5, with the OKC Thunder being the favorite. Total right in that neighborhood, about at 214.5. We've seen a few 215s pop up as well, which that's a big shift from what we saw in game number 6. Game 6, you were seeing more around about a 222.5, 223. So a massive dip with the total. And if you want to go back even further, game 1 was north of a 228 total. Just how do you take a look at this game? Because it is a massive drop in total. And I'm not sure if we necessarily get as slow of a game as the odds makers are thinking.
No, I'm with you there. I don't think there's going to be a decrease in tempo, because I think both these teams are going to stick to who they are. That being said, I think the concern here is nerves and also just the defensive intensity that's going to be present in this game. We know what the Thunder are on defense. That's well documented. But the Pacers have actually held the Thunder to a worse shooting percentage than the Thunder have held the Pacers to. The Pacers' defense in this series has been sensational. It's not quite jumped off the screen as often as the Thunder's, because they haven't forced the turnovers, but they haven't let them put the ball in the cup, and that's what you're trying to do at the end of the day. So although that total has come down quite a lot, and I will say I'm not betting this market, but if I had to make a pick there, I would probably go with the under. The concern would be late game, you know, if one team's down 8 points and in the final minute we're just playing the foul game and that drives the total up, that's on the board, because it's game 7 and you can't take any chances. But I still think this could be a pretty low scoring game. You look back at what happened in that game 7, the 2016 finals, those teams I believe were both under 40% from the field in that game 7, and that Kyrie Irving 3, the famous one that kind of won the title, nobody had scored for like 4 or 5 minutes right before that shot. So yeah, I could easily see the under hitting here.
Yep, and that was a historically good Golden State Warriors shooting team, and they went cold at the end of that game. I remember that all too well. It's Grant Mitchell. He does great work over at Forbes. He's joining me right here on Cashin' Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, and we've got a massive Game 7 in the NBA, but after that, we've got a lot of baseball, and then we've got a lot of football coming up. And if you want to bet smarter this NFL season, you want to get a VSiN Pro subscription. You're able to jump in for a limited time on our NFL football special here at VSiN. You get all access to everything that we do here at the network for $175. That gives you all of our daily best bet emails from the VSiN shows and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa. We also get the NFL betting guide that's coming out in the next 10 days. I'm making some picks for that. Live on-demand shows over on the VSiN Watch app and so much more. Head on over to VSiN.com/subscribe. $175 gets you signed up for the entirety of the football season, as it is Cashing Out with myself, Greg Peterson, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And Grant, we talked a little bit about the total. How do you take a look at the side? Because I personally have just been playing a very simple approach here in the NBA playoffs. In Indiana Pacers games, whoever's down in the fourth quarter, I bet them live, and it's been making me quite a bit of money here. Like, it sounds very, very simple, but it's been panning out for me. How do you take a look at this game? Because I personally, if I had to play it, would take the Pacers plus 7.5, but I think that I'm just going to go back to my live betting approach that's been so reliable here in this postseason.
I'm right there with you. I will say, I could be wrong in this. You might have to fact check me, but I believe if you bet $100 on the Pacers money line in every game, you'd be up like $2,000 over the course of the playoffs. So, I mean, maybe that's just the approach to take if you're somebody who's found success with that. Personally, what I'm going to be doing, because I'm with you. Look, a 7.5 point line, I get it. The Thunder's lines have been huge all season, and they've still been like 65% against the spread. So you got to give them their respect from a mathematical standpoint. But I'm with you. Game 7, in my opinion, low total game, and just the general nature of what Game 7s are and what these two teams have been. Although we've had some lopsided results, as in one game in this series, you know, for the Pacers, it was that Game 6. For the Thunder, the Game 2. If you look at the cumulative numbers, the teams have been virtually inseparable. I believe the Thunder are going to win Game 7, so I would wait to see if the Pacers go out to like a 6-0 lead, you might get some solid value on the Thunder money line. Or if we get to the third quarter, end of the third quarter, and like you said, maybe it's a 77-72 type of game, I would still be taking the Thunder. I think home court advantage really does matter, not just because of the boost that it gives the home team, but role players tend to play better at home and worse on the road. With Indiana, with Tyrese Haliburton dealing with whatever it is, whether this calf strain is real or not, he has not scored more than 22 points in a game in this series. They're relying on TJ McConnell and Obi Toppin and Ben Shepherd and Benedict Mathurin and Tony Bradley now. Can you count on those guys to step up in the fourth quarter of a Game 7 on the road to win a world championship? It would be an awesome story if they did, but history tells us you'd be leaning with the Thunder there. So live betting, like you said, Thunder money line, that's what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for my opportunity.
Yep, certainly did not expect to be hearing Tony Bradley's name here in the NBA Finals, but that is where we are at. And you mentioned a lot of names that you're taking a look at that could be big difference makers for the Indiana Pacers. Are there any player props in general that are standing out to you? And I know that this was brought up on the previous show with Scott Seidenberg, because I know you were mentioning that the tempo might not slow down, but the shot making, it might be a little bit more off. Could this be a game where we just take a look at a bunch of guys to go over on rebound props?
Yeah, it's absolutely on the board. And one guy that really does jump out in that particular market, to me at least, Pascal Siakam. If the Pacers win the finals, there's a good chance he's going to win finals MVP. It's not a foregone conclusion, but he is the leader for the Pacers right now. I believe about 3-1 last I looked. He had 13 rebounds in game 6. That was his highest output of the series. And he also played, I want to say, 34 minutes in that game. But that was a blowout. He didn't have to close the game. So he was going to play close to, if not 40 minutes in that game, in a do or die. And there's a good chance this is a close game no matter who wins. So I think he's easily going to get to that 40-minute marker in game 7. And this is a guy who's split the over-under at 3-3 in this series. But that's playing 32, 33 minutes a game. If he's out there for what effectively has been another quarter, then yeah, I definitely think he can get over 7.5 rebounds. 4+ money. Great value there.
Yep, I think so as well. And for the OKC Thunder, is there anyone that you'd be taking a look at? Because I just have a feeling that they're going to utilize Isaiah Hartenstein more than they have the past two games. They took him out of the starting lineup. They put him back in. I just look at him as a guy that could be perhaps having a big unexpected game in Game 7.
Yeah, the defensive numbers with Isaiah Hartenstein and Chet on the floor together have been great. It doesn't always look like it to the eye test. It seems like sometimes they're a little slow on their rotations, but the numbers don't lie. So even if Mark Dagnall doesn't start him, there's a good chance he gets some tick. However, I would still be going with Chet there. He's been very disappointing offensively for the most part, but he has done some great work on defense, and he's actually developed a lot on the boards. I do have to give him credit there. So Chet, if I'm picking a guy for the Thunder, I would be going with him. I think he gets at least 10.
Yep, and right now, if you want to go over 10.5 rebounds, plus 115 there. Hartenstein over 6.5 rebounds, you're able to get plus 105. So a lot of plus numbers there, and always a lot of plus value whenever you join, Grant. You're a wealth of knowledge when it comes to the NBA and so much more, and I always do appreciate it. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Great to be able to get Grant aboard. Great to be able to break down the NBA Finals. And I need to talk a little bit about the coaching angle that we've got as well. That's going to be coming up a little bit later on in the show, because we're going from the NBA to some golf. Stephen Hennessy, he does great work over at Golf Digest. We've got the final round of the Travelers coming up on Sunday, and we'll discuss it with him next right here on Cashing Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashing Out. I'm VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Great to be joined by this man on the Progressive Guest Line, as we've got Stephen Hennessy aboard. He does an absolutely tremendous job over at Golf Digest. He is their main deputy managing editor over there. Does a great job of taking a look at all things on the links. And Stephen, it's great to get you aboard tonight. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, Greg.
Thank you for joining me, Stephen. And Stephen, we've got ourselves a pretty demonstrative leader here right now with Tommy Fleetwood, as I like to call him, Tommy Fleetwood Mac, here in the Travelers Championship, up by 3 strokes. How do you take a look at this for a guy in Fleetwood that, I mean, overall the numbers have not been terrible, but he has had a tough time breaking through, being able to win any sort of tournament whatsoever, and now the pressure is going to be on him to be able to close out on the final day.
Yeah, he hasn't really been close to contending even this year. If you look at all the stats and the strokes gain numbers, they've been great. He's been, you know, top 5 in all the ball striking stats, but he hasn't really put it together in a particular tournament like he is. And here he is leading by three going into the final day. You know, first PGA Tour win on the line for Tommy Fleetwood. And yeah, I'm happy for him that he's in this position. You know, all golf fans have been waiting for him to break through. It's his 159th start on the PGA Tour. About minus 115, minus 150 as a favorite. I could see someone wanting to bet against him getting it done. You know, he has not proven it. And this is a course where you could get really hot and shoot 6-7 under. So he's going to need to do that. He's going to need to be aggressive on Sunday. And, it, you know, it's tough to project what he's going to do because we haven't seen this. And it's been quite a while since he's even contended for a victory. So I have some interest in some guys down the board a little bit. We'll get into that. But, you know, just most of all, I'm excited to see what Tommy Fleetwood does with the lead.
Oh, no doubt about it. He has been close, but no cigar in the past. As you mentioned, a rough 2025 after last few years had been pretty rock solid. 2024 was a little bit up and down for him as well, but you mentioned it. There's a few guys that you're looking down the board. Your next two short shots after Tommy Fleetwood, Keegan Bradley at plus $4, plus 450 on Russell Henley, but you're looking even further down the board. Take me to a guy that's four plus shots off the lead that you believe might have some value to be able to win this tournament.
Yeah, I think you're looking at the Travelers Championship. You're looking for someone who could get hot with the putter, and that's Jason Day to a T. You know, traditionally one of the best putters in the world. We've seen a return of form for him. He's been hurt a little bit of the year. He had a neck issue. He's back. Was playing with Tommy Fleetwood actually today, and you know, Tommy outperformed. But Jason Day's putter has been great this week in particular, and I see that continuing tomorrow. I think 20-1 is a decent shot if you're looking for someone who could shoot a 63, 64 tomorrow, which is what you're going to need to beat Tommy Fleetwood. I think Jason Day could do it, not in the final group. So, you know, the pressure of the final round in the final group is going to be on Fleetwood in that final group. That won't be Jason Day. So I think at 20-1, that's a decent shot. I think he has the game to get hot under the gun, and things have been trending up for him.
I absolutely love that look, and I know that a few other looks that you've got for the Travelers Championship is taking a little bit more of a look at the matchup market, and how do you take a look at a lot of these matchups? Because I think that it is so interesting, especially when you're betting on the final round of a tournament, you're able to see a lot of these pairings, you're able to see a lot of these just guys in general in terms of when they go out, and I think that that's such a big factor in all of this.
Oh, 100%. And my favorite one for tomorrow is Victor Hovland, who had a really poor Friday. He bogeyed six of his first seven holes, really got off to a tough start. But if you look at his round today, shot a 7-under, 63. So has a ton of momentum. And I think you have to look at that with your pre-tournament numbers. Look at the round three numbers. And Victor Hovland was second in this field in strokes gained approach. So I think for him tomorrow, he's going against Aaron Rye. Aaron Rye gained a ton of strokes putting on Saturday, and that's just not what Aaron Rye does. Aaron Rye is traditionally not a great putter. He's a great ball striker, so I'm willing to fade him. So minus 115 over at DraftKings, Victor Hovland over Aaron Rye, given Victor Hovland's ball striking that we saw on Saturday, I think that's a good shot, nearly an even favorite with Victor Hovland.
I think that that's a really good look, and Hovland coming off of that nice U.S. Open run as well, where he was able to bust through, and he was able to be one of those guys that was in it in the final day. As Stephen Hennessy, he does great work over at Golf Digest. He's joining me on Cashing Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network, and how about if we give the people a Jaeger bomb, because you're looking at Stephen Jaeger in terms of a matchup, and he's at plus money, so take me through this one and why you're liking a little bit of a Jaeger bomb for Sunday.
That's right. Stephen Jaeger is plus 130 over at DraftKings over Ben Griffin. You know, Ben Griffin has played a ton of golf. He's also contended a ton this year. You're looking on Sunday in a signature event. You pointed out, Greg, kind of the situational analysis that we like to look at in other sports. This is the kind of spot that I might fade Ben Griffin, but Stephen Jaeger is someone who's looking at Sunday as a big time opportunity for him. He's T25 going into the weekend, and you know, good ball striking stats. The strokes gained approach numbers almost gained a stroke on approach today. A really good off the tee player traditionally, and you're getting +130. I think he's an even better off the tee player than Ben Griffin. We've seen Ben Griffin gain in all the distance stats this year, but I think it might be a spot to fade Ben Griffin and Stefan Jaeger, traditionally a good wedge player, great off the tee player. It's a good formula for success at the Travelers Championship.
I think that that's a great look right there, and I think that this is an interesting look as well, because with regards to Travelers, obviously you've got the front guys up top with Fleetwood currently being three shots ahead of everyone else, but then you've got just a hodgepodge of guys that are tied for eighth. One of them is Scottie Scheffler. You're able to get him at +140 to be able to get a top five. How would you take a look at Scottie Scheffler? Because it's been a little bit of an up and down tournament, but we know that this is a guy that, I mean, no matter what he has done in the past rounds, this is a guy that just always seems to lock in on that final round.
Yeah, I mean, right now he's T8. You know, if you see a plus number in front of Scottie Scheffler this year, you know, you're up money if you're betting him. So I like that bet a lot. You know, I think today was an off day for Scottie, but he doesn't have many of them in a row ever. So, you know, to get a top five bet with a plus number in front of it, I think that's a home run.
Yep, I think so as well. And Steven, is there anyone else in general, whether you're betting them or not, that you could just see being able to go out there, have themselves a relatively good final round here at the Travelers?
Yeah, I think Patrick Cantlay is somebody had a really hot putter yesterday, saw most of his round. I think he had 11 putts through 11 holes and you know, had a decent Saturday as well. You know, I think I look at him, if you're looking at matchups, possibly top 10s as well. I think you want a little bit of history at the Travelers. It's kind of a quirky course. So, you know, you look at your strokes gain numbers, you look at your pre-tournament numbers, strokes gain wise. And I think Patrick Cantlay is someone that I'm looking at. Harris English as well, past winner here, T5 at the moment. I think if you're looking at him as a top five bet, that's a decent one. You're looking at almost +380, 300 odds. I think that's a decent shot as well. So yeah, I think you have to mix the course history here with the coming in form. And those are two guys that I think fit that bill.
I love those looks. I love the fact that you bring up Cantlay, a guy that has sort of been there, done that in past years. It's been a bit of an up-down season for him, but I think that he could be able to find it in this final day. And we always find great insights whenever you join, Steven. You do a tremendous job over at Golf Digest and really do appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg. Have a good one.
Great to be able to get Steven Hennessy aboard, take a look at the final round of the Travelers. Something else that you want to be taking a look at, a new sports betting market in town, and it's called Xcuta. That is spelled X-C-U-T-T-A. Xcuta is a sports Calcutta, combining the adrenaline of live auctions and strategy of sports prognostication. You're able to create your own Xcuta auctions for you and your crew for any sport or any sporting event: football, baseball, basketball, tennis, golf, Super Bowl, World Series, March Madness, Wimbledon, and even for your own local golf tournament. Create your own private and public auctions. Create secondary markets for aftermarket buying and selling. Over 1,000 teams, players, and drivers in the database to be able to have the ability to add more, as well as something that you get here too, free practice auctions, now running daily 3, 6, and 9 p.m. over at xcuta.com, and you are able to get 3 months of bidding for free with a subscription as if you email support over at support@xcuta.com and mention VSIN. xcuta.com, the future of future wagering, as that's going to be absolutely tremendous right there. And might need to set up a local golf tournament, even though I don't necessarily do the world's greatest job of golfing. We could do a horse event too. I do a little bit more basketball. I will get my rear end kicked, but you know what? All good, clean family fun. And we've got a lot of good, clean family fun happening on the diamond right now. We've got some games wrapping up on the West Coast right now, and we've got a loaded Sunday as well. So let's dive in on that on the flip side here on Cashing Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. It was great to be joined by Stephen Hennessy in the last segment. Does great work over at Golf Digest, taking a look at the final round of the Travelers Championship, which that's going to be a lot of fun. Again, old Tommy Fleetwood Mac up three strokes going into the final round, but he thinks there might be a little bit of value down the board as Mr. Fleetwood minus 175 to be able to take it home. I agree with him. So it was great to be able to get Stephen on in the last segment. And two segments ago, we had on Grant Mitchell. He does great work over at Forbes, one half of the Ride the Lion podcast, taking a look at the NBA Finals. And I'm going to talk about the NBA Finals in a little bit more depth in 15 minutes because I think that it's just a tremendous game, number seven. And I think that there's something that maybe not a lot of people are talking about in the betting space that I do feel like it needs to be brought up just a scoge more. So we're going to be looking at that. Do have to dive in on a little bit of baseball right now as well, as we've got some games that are wrapping up for this Saturday. And this one just went final. Yeah, this is not too much of a surprise. The Colorado Rockies lost another game by multiple runs. 5-3 the final. Now, what I found to be very interesting about this, and we've been seeing a lot of these throughout the season, where you get a really slow start and then like an explosion late, or a really fast start and then the game fizzles. That's exactly what happened in this Rockies versus Diamondbacks game. This game was 3-3 after three innings, 5-3 in the top of the fifth inning, and then no runs were scored from there. This with a pair of bullpens that aren't great. Really not great. So, yep, you did see a very, shall we say, big giant fizzle in this one. And if you're taking a look at the Colorado Rockies right now, there have been a lot of multiple run losses for this team. As a matter of fact, if you take a look at the Colorado Rockies, they have now lost a whopping 47 games by multiple runs. The Pittsburgh Pirates are the only team in the National League that have more than 47 total losses. They have that amount of one-run losses. I recognize that the Colorado Rockies have been playing a little bit better. I think that might be a little bit of a matter of circumstance, catching the Washington Nationals and the Miami Marlins, who have been flailing around as flopping fish. They've been not great, to say the least. So I do think that that was a matter of circumstance. Are they playing a little bit better right now? Yeah, but at the same time, too, I think that there might be a little bit of value in terms of jumping back in on those fades. We'll talk about that in a minute. And hopefully you have not faded the Washington Nationals at the very least in the first five. This game is still going on. 3-2, the Washington Nationals currently in the lead over the LA Dodgers. And for the LA Dodgers, just saw this a minute ago, Will Smith did indeed get jiggy with it, his ninth home run of the campaign, one of my favorite lines to be able to use. So we're going to be taking a look on that front. As for the Washington Nationals, close in a lot of places, right around about a plus 230 or so. So if you're sweating this one out, you've got some plus value there. You don't have to sweat out the total in this game, though. For the Houston Astros and the LA Angels, this game is over the total. 9-1, all LA Angels. And for the LA Angels, this makes things very intriguing for them. And I just think that the American League futures market in general is so interesting in terms of yes, no to make the playoffs, because I think that is really just your spidey sense tingling and which teams might be able to make a move at the trade deadline. I think that this is worth parsing out a little bit more, because for the LA Angels, they're not completely dead for a playoff spot. Heck, you take a look at the American League wildcard right now as we are doing this Saturday night. You've got three teams that are more than 2.5 games out of that final wildcard spot and or not in the playoffs at all. Like, you've got the White Sox, who are 15.5 games back. Sorry, the White Sox are not going to be buyers at the deadline. The A's are 8 games back. Sorry, do you really think that the A's are going to be buyers at the deadline? Eh, no. And then you got the Baltimore Orioles. Even at 6 games back, I mean, don't let the Baltimore Orioles get hot. I mean, they might be just stupid enough to be able to make a move here at the trade deadline. And then everyone else, it's just a hodgepodge of different teams. The Angels are currently 2.5 games back. They're going to get the job done tonight. That'll put them 2 games back. The Twins are 2 games back. The Rangers are 1.5 games back. The Royals are 1.5 games back. The Guardians are 1 game back of the final wildcard spot. The Mariners are 0.5 games back. Like, I mean, you could have just so many teams be big, massive buyers at the trade deadline, and you could have so many of these teams sell. Like, you have to be gauging the market right now as to what you think these teams are going to do. I mean, are the Royals are going to be sticking their chips in the middle? Are the Rangers going to be sticking their chips in the middle? Now, a lot of this has to do with what you're going to be getting in the next few weeks in general. Like, if you think that the Cleveland Guardians are going to get hot, and then maybe start to take a look at them, though. Cleveland, not really one of those teams that I really expect to ever be buyers. It's a little bit of a smaller market team, and they're typically a team that in general, they cheap out a little bit more. I'm going to call it what it is. But, I mean, a team like the Texas Rangers, we've already seen them go in, and they've done a solid job. And, I mean, allow me to take you back to this as well. If you think that there's a team right now that they could be deciding, you know what, we're going to go for it, you might want to bet them in terms of yes or no to be able to make the playoffs, because you'll look no further than the 2021 season with regards to what we saw on that front. That was the 2021 season where the Atlanta Braves won the World Series. The Braves were at 500 right around the trade deadline. They decide that they're going to revamp their outfield, and all of a sudden, boom, it is able to turn into a World Series. Now, I will bring up the counter. In 2022, you had the LA Angels, or I should say actually 2023, the LA Angels, they were right around 500. They actually bought at the trade deadline. They brought in on Lucas Giolito. They brought in on, I think, one or two other pieces as well. That did not work out. They lost Shohei Ohtani, and yeah, that was not great to say the least. But, I mean, you could see some very big intrigue. So, I'm engaging these teams, what you think that they might do at the trade deadline, and what they've got the next few weeks, paramount in the American League, as it is cashing out with myself, Greg Peterson, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And what else is paramount is being able to get the best odds. ProfitX, they are providing them all season long. It's a first of its kind. It's in 40-plus states. It's a peer-to-peer sports exchange available all across the United States. You'll be able to make sports picks against other bettors and against other groups of fans rather than the sports books. And that guarantees you the best rates by up to 10 to 20%. You can even request your own odds. Download ProfitX today with the promo code of VSIN, V-S-I-N. That'll earn you 200 profit cash over your first month. And how about if we do dive in on a few games that we're going to be getting for Sunday as well? As we've still got a few games that are hanging out there in the balance. By the way, the Guardians currently up 4-0 on the Athletics, bottom of the sixth inning. This game was 4-0 in the top of the second inning as well. And someone who has the over, I do, is very, very much hoping that we see a little bit of bullpen calamity and clean family fun out there. And we're going to be open for the same on Sunday as well. So how about if we do preview the game that we're going to be getting in Sacramento on Sunday between J.P. Sears and Slade Sassone. This is 967-968 on the card. Right now that total is 9.5. And this is a part of one of my VSiN write-up articles. As over at VSiN.com, you always get my daily MLB write-ups every single day where I look in depth on a lot of these games. And for Sassone and the Cleveland Guardians, right around about minus 130, minus 137 is their number. And that neighborhood about plus 110, plus 117 is the number on the Athletics. Total on scheme is 9.5. And with the way that the ball is flying out in Sacramento, it is insane. The only ballpark with a higher factor in terms of being able to elevate offense is where it's elevated the most. That would be over at Coors Field. And for the Athletics, it's very much represented in their home and road splits. J.P. Sears is another one of these guys that has struggled at home. Overall, he's got an ERA that's hovering right around 5.50. This goes up to a 6.89 at home, and what he's done at home. 12 home runs allowed in 29 and two-thirds innings. That is darn near 3.5 home runs allowed per nine innings. Now, the issue that you've got in terms of this game is the fact that you've got a Cleveland Guardians team that we're going to call it what it is. This has not necessarily been a team of mashers. And for the Guardians, at the bottom fold, you've got a lot of guys that they just need to give you a little bit more. You've got a lot of guys hitting in that neighborhood of 220 or lower. Heck, it got so bad with Brian Rocchio along with John Kenzie Noel. Those guys need to be sent down to the minor league level. Bo Naylor, Nolan Jones, guys like this have just been hitting right around at 225 or lower. You need to be getting a little bit more on that front. Even Kyle Manzardo is hitting less than a 225, albeit he's been able to give you a double-figure amount of homers, but the top end of the lineup has been great. Stephen Kwan is hitting at 300. You've been able to get tremendous power, just tremendous consistency in general out of Jose Ramirez as well, so that's been massive for you. And with the Guardians, bullpen just not what it has been in past years. Like with the Cleveland Guardians bullpen, last year, number one in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA. Emmanuel Clase has been shaky. Hunter Gaddis, Cade Smith, sub-250 ERAs. These guys have been good, but when you've been trying to mix and match with Jacob Junis and company, less than tremendous. What else is less than tremendous? The A's bullpen. North of a 6 ERA this far this season. And for the A's, Tyler Soderstrom has been able to give you 15-plus home runs. Brent Rooker has been able to do a nice job of being able to drive a yard as well. And I mean, man, I just cannot help but be impressed by Jacob Wilson. He ain't north of a 360 going into tonight as well. So I think they're going to get a plentiful amount of runs, especially with Slade Cecconi giving up 1.8 home runs per 9 innings. So that's a little bit of an issue there. I'm going to be taking a shot on the over. And for this Cleveland Guardians team, set them right around minus 134. So at the minus 130, looking at them on the money line, do I have to alert you, if you're on the Washington Nationals, now up 5-2. I believe that CJ Abrams just hit a bomb for you. Might have been James Wood, but I thought it was CJ Abrams, but we'll confirm that on the flip side. You're looking good if you've got that plus number. And we're going to be taking a look at a big booster for this NBA Finals on the flip side here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.